I do music videos. Home phone number's on the back.
Excuse me. I'm not a piece of meat put on this earth for your gratification. I'm a woman. Respect me or I will castrate you like a 3-year-old steer. Look sharp. We got something.
Welcome to Exposition Street, celebrating geek movies in all their splendiferous glory, presentation of Prismatic Tsunami. My name is Eric. Thank you very much for joining us for our film cast. This is episode number 55 of our series, and we are very, very excited to be here today. Let me turn the music down a little. Before we get started today, we're going to go ahead and introduce the panel over here. He prefers his Indian food with a heavy dose of grotesquely deformed dead people. It's Richard.
I have been dying to do this movie.
Dying to do it. Wow. She too looks like a regular person until you set off her allergies. It's Vanessa.
That's very accurate.
I thought you would appreciate that.
Yes.
I thought you could go with that. It's exactly what kind of roof supports were used to hold up 7 tons of gold in that there, quote, staff. It's Jason.
I didn't even think about that, but oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got one past you. And finally, not only is he a dead cop, he's freaking David Lopan. It's the kid.
Hello, party people.
Put your hands in the air for RIPD, the Rest in Peace Department. We're going to talk about this gem today.
You know, until I watched this movie, I always thought that stood for Rhode Island Police Department. I was a little surprised to find out that that's not what the movie was about.
It right. was very much not.
And I know Rhode Island is small, but states usually don't have a police department, do they?
Oh.
They have like a highway patrol.
Would you put anything past Rhode
State
Island?
Trooper.
I was going to say, Rhode Island is small enough that it might.
There are some cities the size of Rhode Island.
That's probably true.
Yeah. No, it's not that bad. I actually talked to people in Rhode Island at work. But yeah, no, when I was listening to the name before and it kept saying RIPD, and I'm like, it keeps sounding like something about death. I didn't know anything about the movie. I started watching and I'm like, oh, I get the joke.
So that's the funny part too, right? This one was one that Vanessa and I had seen and yes. nobody else, right? First time viewing for everybody else here. I like that.
Yeah.
This ought to be a fun conversation. I think one way or the other, it ought to be stimulating. It was released on the 19th of July in 2013, rated PG-13, runtime of 1 hour and 36 minutes. Did not do particularly well at the box office. It opened at number 7 the weekend it was released, behind such gems as Red 2, which came out the same weekend, Turbo, I don't even know what that was, The Conjuring, which came out that weekend and took the top spot. And, I mean, even Despicable Me and Grown Ups 2 and Pacific Rim were in their second, third week in some cases and beat the hell out of this one at the
box office. To be fair, there's a lot of good movies in that lineup.
There are. I feel like I should know what Turbo is. Do you remember
that? Wasn't that the animated one about the snail? The snail.
Yeah. Turbo was a fast snail.
I totally
racing snail.
Missed that one.
Racing I must snail. Have been doing my hair that weekend. I don't remember that, any
that could
of that.
Be it. That could be. A recently slain cop joins a team of undead police officers working for the Rest in Peace Department and tries to find the man who murdered him. Does that work? It's not bad. No,
mostly. I mean,
he knew where the man who murdered him was. Yeah. He wasn't trying to find him.
I mean, it is a little, you know.
He was well, trying he did, to figure out what he was doing, him. Though.
Yeah, it's actually kind of the opposite, wasn't he? He kept running into the guy. This was, for all that it was kind of a sleeper, we went to the theater to see it. John and I went to the theater to see this. And, I mean, we had a great time. Yeah, this was a fun popcorn movie. I
can imagine that. Yeah.
I think that's the only time I saw it until this week. But, I mean, I remember walking away from it having a good time. And so I was pretty excited to try it again. I didn't remember just how cartoony the movie was. I mean, which really makes sense given the fact that when you're a dead cop, apparently – you can go pretty Bugs Bunny. I mean, really?
They even make a comment about it. We're pretty durable.
Yeah. But that's okay. This was directed by Robert Schwentke. He did Red in 2010, He did Flight Plan. He did the second and third Divergent movies. We'd seen a few things he's done, but not a ton. It was written by Phil Hay and Matt Manfred, who I looked him up. I looked him up. They have writing credits both on Aeon Flux, on the 2010 Clash of the Titans, a couple solid
things that I've seen.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, that there you go. Solid End of Century. And Christoph Beck did the music. And he's amazing. And he did the music for Frozen and Frozen 2. He did Ant-Man 1 and 2. He did the music for Free Guy, which I watched last week.
Oh my gosh, that movie's great.
Because it dropped on HBO Max.
Yes, it's out.
It dropped on HBO and Disney, actually, same day.
It's a shame we don't do new movies because I'd love to do that one.
That was a fun one.
Catchphrase.
But this one also... this one also was starring Mr. Ryan Reynolds as Nick. This was actually kind of a dead period for Ryan, particularly because of this movie, actually. This one bombed so badly that it took him a few years to... Until Deadpool, which came out in, 2016?
Ha!
I do not remember.
There was nothing. Nothing on that. Nothing memorable he did in between.
It really wasn't.
Green Lantern was, 3 years, 2 years before this. I mean,
I'm pretending that movie didn't happen. Green Lantern.
My point was that Ryan Reynolds was doing things that made people pretend that Ryan Reynolds didn't exist, and that's heavy.
He was in that movie with Sandra Bullock.
Not during that period.
No, not during that period. But
that was the proposal.
The proposal.
I didn't look which year it came out, but that was not during that period, right? That I noticed.
One of the few romance movies I actually like.
The last thing I remember seeing Ryan Reynolds before that was Blade 3.
I can't watch it too often.
Hannibal King.
Yeah.
Man, he stole that movie.
I know.
He was the best thing in that movie, and that's saying a lot.
Long shot.
Because it wasn't a bad script. It was kind of the black sheep of the Blade trilogy because it was a little different. But and it had Parker Posey in it.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. Just a great cast. But a very bloody movie.
But I do like Ryan Reynolds movies better when he's allowed to break the rules.
Here's the funny thing. In this one, everybody else was pretty gonzo, and he was playing it down.
He was the straight man.
He really was. The fun part. You know, when he was the straight man and the hitman's bodyguard, he was still hilarious. In this, he had some great lines, but he wasn't intending to be hilarious.
Bridges was definitely the hilarious one.
Jeff Bridges was freaking hilarious.
So
absolutely.
Roy was a talkative character. He did not shut up the entire time he was on screen. I don't think 12 seconds went by anytime you saw him when he wasn't saying something. That's only because somebody else was.
Excuse me. That's Roy Cephas. Thank you.
Roy Cephas. Or Cephas. Roy or Cephas.
A lot of highlighter. Roy or Cephas, on that not script. Roy Cephas. A lot of highlighter.
Now, we've already talked about Jeff Bridges recently, of course, because we did Tron last week, and that was the other end of his career. We've seen him before on the show in The Giver as well. He was in The Giver, came out the same year, no, the year after this one in 2014. And the Seventh Son did as well. I mean, he was doing stuff.
Three-peat for Jeff Bridges.
Love his range.
And Tron Legacy and True Grit he did in 2010, just before this. And I mentioned that because True Grit, he obviously pulled a lot from the Rooster character for this character. Because Roy has a lot of that in him.
He has a lot of Rooster cogger.
Oh, but just not as dark. Because Rooster was not comedy a happy Rooster. Character.
Comedy
yeah.
Rooster.
He's comic Rooster.
Which was first?
True Grit was 2010, so this was after. And then the rest of the cast, Kevin Bacon's the other big one, of course. I mean,
Kevin Bacon.
The man was already ubiquitous by this point in his career, but he hadn't been doing a lot at this point. He'd really slowed down.
Yeah, he'd taken some time off, and he came out for this.
He played Hayes. he was in X-Men,
you have an opinion.
X-Men First Class a couple years before this, where he also played the villain. Sebastian Shaw, I think.
He makes a fine villain.
And
forgot he was even in that movie.
Between,
it's been a long time.
Or no, not in between. After this, around the same time as this, I guess, he started on the Following, that show. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, where he played Ryan Hardy on the Following, which is a pretty intense show. It had a serial killer in it, and he was kind of trying to track him down.
I think this character, though, is my favorite Kevin Bacon character.
Really?
Man. Yeah, it was really what he was well done.
Tremors.
I hated him for all the right. Well, Tremors is a whole different genre. I'm not even going into it.
I would say that this Kevin Bacon is on my short list, but I couldn't put him at the top.
But the characterization is really good, and it did everything it wanted me to, including very much disliking the guy.
I have to admit, I can't think of a ton of roles that I liked him better in. I mean, I didn't like the characters better anyway. Because, I mean, Roy was Hayes was fun. Roy was fun, too. But Hayes was fun. And you could tell Kevin was having fun playing the character.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
You know, so, I mean, wow, more power to him, right? If he's good at it, he's good at it, plain and simple. And the man is good.
He did do good with his character.
He's named after bacon.
If we did another, bacon is named after him, I'm not sure what.
I think there is evidence that actual bacon, like the food, was around before Kevin Bacon. So I think he has to be named after the bacon.
I'll buy it.
That's true. The Bible never banned Kevin Bacon.
Wow. Are you sure?
More evidence that the Bible did not know what it was talking about.
Well, I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah, but I think that was after the fact.
Maybe a little bit. If we did another Kevin Bacon movie, I don't know what it would be, though. I mean, if we launched it, we haven't done a ton of the comic booky stuff.
We don't need to do another one. We've already secured our bacon number of two. There's no need to ever.
We can totally
we
do
can do
more.
A three-piece.
Technically, this is a bacon number one. We're the same, you know, we're right here, right? Is that how that works? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're talking about it on our show.
Technically.
We are the first, we are now one step from bacon.
Except that I haven't been on anything that Kevin Bacon was in. He hasn't been anything that I've been in, so I guess that doesn't really count. But you get the idea.
He's now been on our show.
We're virtual. We're virtual.
Show and
we're virtually Kevin Bacon number one.
Sure. Why not? Because that's how that works.
I'm sure it is. Mary Louise Parker played the proctor. She was fun.
She's my vote for MVC.
I liked her in this. We saw her in Red.
Highly amusing.
We've seen her on the show before. She was in Red. She was in both
Julie
Red movies as Sarah.
Julie pointed that out to me. I was like, no, are you sure that's the same character? And mm-hmm. she's like, yes. Yeah.
And this was around the time
she was the one who was dating.
She was the phone operator.
Bald guy.
Yeah. I am guessing. Wow. God, you blanked on Bruce Willis.
I can blank on anything. It's not a challenge for me.
This was around the time Weeds wrapped up, which she did for like 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, it was she'd been on TV for a while prior to this. You know, on HBO TV. I guess it doesn't really count as TV, does it? In my head, it kind of does. You can probably see it on HBO Max.
Probably can.
The other honorable mentions that I wanted to bring up, and I forgot to write down the woman's name, but she only had 5 acting credits to her name, and this was her debut, and that was Marissa something or other Miller, I think, and that was she played the avatar for Roy, who you heard the music for in the opening of the show.
Right. That's
hilarious. Yeah, Marissa Miller.
Every time she came on the screen, it was "Let's Get It On" in the background. I was like, that is great.
Horribly sexualized, but very appropriate for what they were projecting.
And you know what? I thought she was great in this. She did a fine job. She wasn't just eye candy. She did a fine job.
No, she kind of was.
She had a speaking line.
She had a line or two, and she did action sequences part well.
She was definitely not cardboard.
James Hong, though.
And for as few lines as she had to not come off as cardboard is incredible in
itself. That's fair.
Freaking James Hong, though. He was fantastic.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
I loved James and the banana.
The banana.
Something about seeing David Lopan run around with a banana just really does it for me.
Did you notice that hers was a hairdryer?
Yes.
Yes.
And yeah.
You know, that's the thing, though, at the end of the day. You talk about that whole, there's no small part, just small actors. And it's because you can take a small part and be big with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was done right. I mean, David Hong. James Hong is practically a legend in the industry anyway.
Right.
And he's been in everything where anybody needed an Asian anything for the longest time. That's but fair. I mean, obviously
sad reality.
He's one of those actors who he fits a stereotype and has milked that for a career and gotten some money out of it. I mean, Big Trouble in Little China though was in, I don't know what year, 86 or something. I mean, it was way back there. And
86, 88.
As soon as I see him, that's the first thing I think of is Lopan. Every time.
Now I've got to watch that movie again.
That's not sad.
Oh, such a
pity. Oh, darn. It's on Roku TV. Just letting you know, because I saw it the other day.
If you want something more recent,
I own copies.
He was also Mr. Ping on Kung Fu Panda.
I own it on like 2 different streaming services.
Well, and one of my favorites, he was in Wayne's World 2. He was a... God, what's her name? Oh my God.
Oh, he was the dad, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was the dad.
Oh, gosh.
And they spoke
with Tia Carrere.
Tia Carrere. Thank you. God, how can I forget that? I mean, she was...
You blanked on Tia Carrere?
Smoking. And...
It's a line from the movie.
The funny thing with that is, I mean, they did those bad dubs in that, in Wayne's World.
They did terrible dubs.
Oh, my God.
He just went with it and did it so well. And it was, Did you wish to marry my daughter? It was great. All right. Box office of $130 million budget. Some estimates say closer to $155. It grossed opening weekend $12.6 million, grossed $33.6 in the U.S., only $78 million worldwide.
Oh, it's such a good movie. It did bad.
Total box office bomb. In a Reddit AMA discussion, Jeff Bridges said that he enjoyed making the movie with the cast and crew, but attributed its failure to studio interference. He said the suits just cut it against the grain, and I thought screwed it up. That's a quote. He described the film as underwhelming. And I don't entirely agree with him because I thought the movie was fun, and I still think it's fun.
I found it to be quite whelming.
Quite whelming? It was whelming enough?
I think it's fun, I was whelmed.
But I do see how at the time, if you're going for something that had that much money pumped into it, you're expecting something with a little... This had a lot of certain things in it, but it didn't have that Star Wars effect.
That's fair. Because they weren't breaking any new ground, of course. And the CGI, and for as much money as they spent, because at the time in 2013 it came out, the couple years leading up to that, at the time that was kind of expensive for as much CGI they did. And they really could have done better.
They did a lot of CGI for what they did, though.
That was a ton.
But it realistically set expectations for what you were getting in the movie. The second that he dies 2 minutes into the movie and gets sucked swirling into the air, you're like, oh, that's the kind of movie I'm going into. Okay.
Right. Yeah, you're right. There's no bones about it.
Like, it doesn't try to be something it's not. It very much does exactly what it's trying to.
The graphics were good.
For what it was,
The graphics were good.
Again, and that cartoony vibe helped in that way.
Yeah.
You know, every time they did something that was over the top. And some of it was just I assume they used a lot of mocap in this.
I don't know what that means.
Motion capture.
Gotcha.
Because all the freaks moved so well. Mm-hmm. They did such a good job of them.
What was his name? The one they opened with.
Fat Elvis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fat Elvis. Thank you. Oh, man. He was something else. That was so well done.
I didn't write down the names of any of the actors because there were a couple of faces there that were still recognizable, like him before he went off at Elvis. That actor I knew from somewhere and I meant to write him down. But
I knew I'd seen him somewhere too, but I couldn't place it.
RIPD, guys. What do you think?
I was very much a fan of this movie. I found it very enjoyable. I can't say it was highly inspiring or highly inspired, but it was fun. And it had some really creative... Some really creative twists.
It did. And I think even with the twists, I thought the pacing was good. I mean, I thought the pacing went well throughout the movie and it moved me smoothly from one part to the other. I never felt like I was like, can we get through this already? And I never felt rushed.
Hmm. There was a lot of criticism that it was kind of a Men in Black with dead things going on.
And I get that. I had that Men in Black vibe because it's a secret world. And then it's not only a secret world, though, it's a secret world where you're dealing with the afterlife, which is sometimes sacred cow. Like, sometimes literally sacred cow?
Fair.
There were some pretty strong tropes going on here, but also, would you say the story was predictable?
Oh, yeah.
Would you say
kind
predictable?
Kind of, yeah.
In the overall arch, yes.
But it was enjoyable. It was a nice journey.
There were some twists that I didn't necessarily call the first time I watched it, but the overall Archie I definitely predicted.
As soon as they put the gold into storage, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's going to come back. Well, and I thought that I didn't realize they were going to go ahead and, hey, let's just go ahead and put all the gold in the same place. If they'd left the other gold away and then put the other gold in new bins, they wouldn't have had the problem they had.
They got several bins.
Yeah, there was more than one bin.
Yeah, that's true. They just went through and started taking whatever they wanted. So, I mean,
that's because when the bad guys rampaged, when they set off the little bomb or whatever, almost all of them had a bin.
Oh, maybe I missed something. Okay.
Yeah, there were several bins.
Well, I knew there were containers, but the big bin that they put the gold in, they were putting it in with the other stuff. Otherwise, the other stuff would have been off in storage somewhere, and they never would have had the whole thing.
For me, while it was ridiculously telegraphed what was coming, what I was curious about and very much enjoyed was the how were they going to pull it off, and the way it actually went down was creative and amusing, and I thoroughly was tickled by it.
Kevin Bacon's reveal was awesome.
Yes.
they did a great job with him. They did. I feel like the
that's Kevin Bacon.
What they did here, obviously, was they built fun sequences and then hung the story around them, right?
Yeah.
And some of those sequences, I think, because of that, are kind of standout. Because they was clear going into it, they were storyboarding the stuff and going, what we really want to do is they're going to chase this guy all over the place. You know, that like it reminded me a little bit of the sequence in True Lies when he gets on the horse, when Arnie gets on the horse and you're going through the mall and then you go through the hotel.
Oh,
and
good
you go
Lord. Yeah.
So it's like we have a 12-minute sequence of chasing somebody around. We're going to make it awesome. Now let's figure out how we get there.
But every time that we got a shot of Fat Elvis with the arrow sticking out of his ass with the line on it with the hot bomb shell being dragged along on the end of it, I was just like, you know, I want to have that kind of a day. Like
Chen and his banana.
I still tell you, I like the storyboarded feel because if any type of plot is going to have a comic book feel, this is the type of story that should have a comic book feel.
And I think this was original. I don't think
it was from a book.
I don't think it was based on
anything. No, it was based on Dark Horse comic.
Was it? Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
It does have a comic book feel. So
it was based on a Dark Horse comic.
And it should. And I never think it shouldn't. And I think it did well. I mean, I enjoyed the way it did.
Should have known better. Nobody gives $130 million to make a movie if it's not based on something. I mean, right. That's original true. Stuff doesn't make it in Hollywood. So
and then wouldn't that always work?
But you don't do that. We can't do that. Yeah, that's not a thing.
I might be alone here, but I think I would have enjoyed the movie more if it had stayed Lopan in the bombshell.
That's funny.
You mean as opposed to Roy and what's his name? Nick.
Now, here's the rub.
I get that.
Let Ryan Reynolds and
Jeff Bridges.
Let Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges voice it.
So we're hearing their voices out of James Hong.
With the other actors. That would have been such a pain to coordinate, but it would have been awesomely worth it.
On the other hand, I kind of liked the parts where we hear them talking with their actual voices, saying the things that we know are being said by Roy and Nick, though, too.
Yeah.
The clip that you paid for the intro is definitely like the one that I was just like, Eric has to pull this.
That was epic.
Yes. I am a woman.
It's one of the ones I remembered. Actually, remembered from the movie. We're coming back to it. So.
But I
do see where you're coming from. And maybe for like if they had picked one extended scene and shot it that way, that would have been
I would have liked that.
The best of both worlds.
I like
because I would have very much gotten a kick out of an action sequence, one of the big action sequences, from the perspective of a bystander who's seeing just.
And I would love.
I mean, that's kind of what the Asian guy in big sequence was if you're and having it from the perspective of a bystander.
Flickering back and forth, but
from the perspective of the dead.
Did anybody else have a problem with how much of Boston they destroyed?
Welcome to comic book movies.
So. I've never been to Boston, so I have
no horse. But I mean, like, even before the huge comic booky, the tower is creating whirlpools all over the city. Just like the car accident in the beginning.
And per canon, it's like it was happening in the real world.
Oh, yeah.
There was at least 15 dead people right there. They just.
Yeah.
Since none of us live in Boston, if you do and you're listening to the show, let us know if those things are commonplace and that's why it didn't seem like it was too remarkable or something.
Ouch. I mean, traffic is murder, but not that kind.
And if this is a real thing and the RIPD exists, and there's no way this is the first Detto that's gotten away.
Right.
That's made a big public spectacle like that,
That's made a big public spectacle like that that's gotten into the public eye. And there's no way that we wouldn't have heard about it in some way, somehow. And I found the entire premise disbelievable because there was no secrecy, because there was no...
At least in Men in Black, they had the flashy thingy.
Right.
Men
in Black gives you a reason not to remember all of the shit that's going on.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Pardon me.
A very vaguely and thinly believable thingy.
It didn't, at least Men in Black gave a thinly, vaguely possible maybe this could actually happen. RIPD did not. RIPD failed from the outset to make me go, this could happen. No.
It's a comic book movie,
he's not wrong.
But he's not wrong.
Here's the thing. The history of comic book movies, for example, mm-hmm. You go back before X-Men, which was like 99, 2000, something like that. And anything they tried to do before then never failed to grab much attention. And X-Men was the first one that treated it like this could be going on in the real world and we just don't know it. If you watch the original X-Men movie, almost none of the characters have any extravagant powers that would be anything less than subtle if they were careful.
And Storm.
Almost. Well, and even that, and even then, that's Weather. Mystique is the exception, by the way. When I say almost, she's the one that immediately jumps
in. And she's also able to, but almost away, she can look like a human.
So right there, she disguises it. That's the thing.
And then there was Beast, too.
But he wasn't in the original. He
could morph back and forth in the original.
I thought he was in the original.
He wasn't in the first movie.
He was not in the original.
No. The first movie, he has showed up in the, well, third one, actually, the as Kelsey Grammer playing him in X-Men 3, which was not a great movie. And, no, then, and then he's been in the first. He's been in first. He's been in all the first class movies though. All the new set.
Yeah, it was definitely one Nicholas of the older Holt. Ones.
But he, that's the thing is, none of the original mutants in the first movie looked outlandish enough to be, that's you know,
Sabretooth would have a hard time.
But he was also a bad guy who hung out behind the scenes. And,
right.
I don't know. Logan's side chops.
Okay, guys, you can argue it if you want. My point was they obviously were trying for a level of realism and viability in what they were doing. Suspension of disbelief. And every movie after that in the same genre built on that premise until they kind of started to flag. I mean, Spider-Man, of course, was freaking huge. But it's because kids loved it. It wasn't until Iron Man, and Iron Man was built on a believable premise of this isn't a guy with superpowers. This was a guy with super technology. You know,
in a world where super technology exists that isn't believable in our world.
Now, in a world where superpower exists, too.
You have to say that in the voice. In the world.
I'm not necessarily – I'm going to backtrack just a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily upset that it couldn't happen in our world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find it believable in theirs.
Okay, that I'll go with.
Yeah.
Because...
Sorry, the original phrasing sounded like it wasn't believable in ours, and it's
the amount of surprise when he shows up, it's like, the RIPD? What? I don't know anything about this.
Well, just because monsters...
We're all secret, you know. No, there's monsters all over the place.
What's just because monsters all over the place doesn't mean anybody would know anything about RIPD, though.
I just...
Also, that's kind of a double-edged sword because the conceit of that looking at and the only thing you had was that level of surprise because anything other than that you could go ahead and assume that these kinds of encounters exist in this reality. We're not informed of that.
They
this
did
is
also
not our world.
They did also make a comment that this is more activity than they have ever seen.
They did make that disclaimer, and it was still the universe does things to make people not perceive everything necessarily. And that's most obvious in the way that they look, not like their old selves, so as not to cause conflict in the world.
And can't
but
reveal
there
who they
is possibly even. Another part where people, perception filter wise, just are not noticing certain things and are just accounting it to other stuff.
They do have to be quote unquote popped.
And I would have thought that was the assumption they were making here, that they were relying on us to know, because that is a common trope now in anything supernatural or you know, but they didn't live to it. Like Jason's kind of pointing out, though.
I get it. They immediately,
soon as we started seeing the monsters become really active, so did everybody else. I mean, as far as we could tell, when Fat Elvis was running around, people seemed to be seeing Fat Elvis.
It was on the news.
Yeah. So, I mean, that really did defy that principle pretty strongly. I mean, it suggested that. And I expected that consequentially that when they revealed the main plot with, like, the Staff of Jericho and all that, it was also going to reveal that something had changed that was making things different now. And
maybe Boston had popped.
That's all they needed was something that said, something has changed. You know, the Ghostbusters thing. Why didn't we see ghosts all over New York before they started busting ghosts, right? Something is because in Ghostbusters, there was that massive, you know, energy that was building slowly across New York during that period. So suddenly ghosts was happening.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same sort of thing.
And once they blew up the tower, ghosts haven't been seen in 30 years.
Right, or something like that, right? Did you see Afterlife?
Yes.
Yeah, it was good.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's fun.
Ghosts haven't been seen in 30 years.
Also a good example of a fun movie. I'm sure there's people that disagree with me on that one, but there you go.
Afterlife was so good.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I didn't watch it yet.
But it's really great for people who are big fans of the original movie.
I like the second one better than that, too.
I don't know what to do about you.
I like the second one better than the first one, too.
You're trying to tank the show. Jason, it's okay if he does this stuff. Already, the listeners already know he's critical. They already know he's going to have weird ideas running around his head. You don't need to be doing that, okay?
I like the one with the girls and Chris Hemsworth.
She's no, not our ray no, of sunshine. No.
That's the one I liked.
I think I'm our ray of
I made
sunshine.
It like 10 minutes into that one before I was just like, and I'm sick of these jokes.
But,
bye.
But she's always smiling.
Even I was disappointed with that film.
I like
that's
it.
Saying something.
I watched 10 minutes.
It. I enjoyed the.
You know what? Then you missed Chris Hemsworth, and he was the best part of it.
He really
I
was.
I did miss Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Didn't I see him in something else recently?
Probably.
A lot of stuff, I'm
I
sure.
I love Leslie, too, though. I'll watch her do all kinds of stuff. She was part of the movie. I enjoy watching her.
Leslie Jones, she was great in that movie. She was the only one who had good lines in that movie. That was what pissed me off. Okay, tangent.
That's true. She had
this is your warning.
Time out.
This is the Ghostbusters movie with the women we're talking about here. And I don't know if we ever want to do this for the show, but I kind of doubt it. So
it's a comedy.
And I went in with an open mind, and I didn't expect it to follow the same rules. I was a little put out with just how far off of the rules of the Ghostbusters it went for the purpose of creating movie flair and whatnot. Whatever. Okay, fine, fun, whatever. But the comedy should have been better. These women were good.
It did traditional comedy. Female comedy where all they're doing is making fun of genitalia, and that didn't amuse me.
It wasn't good. Melissa true. McCarthy, I Kristen Wiig, and
yeah. They should have been able to do better. You're right.
The other lady, the girl that was in
I have no idea. I couldn't have named the three.
Bad at names.
The lady who was in the Wonder Woman movie as Cheetah. They were all, I mean, they're all really funny in their own element.
They're very talented, very
and
amazing.
Really do. Comedians. I mean, Melissa McCarthy especially does great movies. I've always cringed at seeing her in something thinking that she's going to be exactly the wrong kind of comedian for me. And then I enjoy the hell out of it every time. But this was not one of those movies. She just did not have good lines. None of them did, except Leslie Jones, who was actually conventionally funny. And because they didn't write her like everybody else, they wrote her like a real person. It was weird. Okay, anyway.
Okay. So that's what I like about that movie is Leslie Jones and Chris Hemsworth.
two stars. So moving on to RIPD. Jonik actually and I went actually watched that movie, and then we were like so dissatisfied because we wanted a good movie.
Moving
and
back.
That we actually walked down the hall and watched a second movie. I mean, we paid for it. Don't
we didn't literally watch sneak into hall. Another.
You know what? They owe us a good movie. Damn it! I'm going into this theater over here. What's in here?
Yeah, that's not
I
how
did
that, works.
That after I saw the fourth Indiana Jones.
There was
you
a fourth?
Made it through the fourth Indiana.
Jones. It's not that bad.
I thought it was okay.
I went to see the Crystal Skull. I was so disappointed that I went and saw the Crystal Skull that I was like, I'm going to watch something and enjoy myself. And I went to see Tropic Thunder.
Which I bet you did.
I enjoyed
Crystal
Skull better than Thunder.
Tropic Thunder was surprisingly good.
I didn't.
The movie that
I
did that with was Cloverfield, and then I went to go see Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Was it better than Cloverfield?
Yes.
Okay.
What a
bad movie. I liked Cloverfield.
It's better than a lot of things.
We went to see.
I don't like found footage.
That's a problem. We went to see Central Intelligence, along with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
But Blair Witch ruined it.
It was funny, so. Blair Witch. Jeez.
I ever saw that in the theater three times. Help me.
All right. If we're done talking all over each other, which I think is the fun part of the show.
Okay.
Let's do some clips.
Let there be clips.
Careful. You
starting here. Protection.
This guy's a meth dealer, a cop killer. He's got 30 guys with him. Not going to go easy. Now, stand by.
For inspiring, motivating words from Detective Bobby Hayes.
How about we don't get shot today?
Well, that's great advice. You're a good cop. Detective Hayes advises we should avoid getting shot, and also everybody should put their charm bracelets on now.
Hey, that's my grandmother's St. Christopher medal, jackass.
It's adorable.
And wear for protection.
No, it's protection. Well, this stops bullets. Here stops you from getting dates.
I love the laugh. Did you guys hear the laugh at the end?
Right.
Kevin Bacon laughing. I love it. That was, I did not even see that coming for some reason.
That when
it
was some foreshadowing.
In
the
yeah.
Opening scene of the movie.
It was heavy foreshadowing, but you have heavy to have seen the movie to get any of it.
No, you didn't.
I missed it.
Jason clearly does not agree with you on this score.
Yeah,
I didn't see it coming. I mean, I should have, because it's a weird throwaway line item right there.
I knew as soon as he said he wanted to give the gold back that his partner was going to be the reason he died.
Check out St. Christopher. Yes.
I knew as soon as they saw the St. Christopher medal that there was something going on with it. It was more than just a throwaway gag line for the joke.
The only reason it doesn't work as a Chekhov's gun trope, obviously, is because it isn't actually like a weapon or something you'd expect to do anything with specifically. So it was used in a way similar to a Chekhov's gun, but it wasn't one because it wasn't an obvious thing that had to be brought up later.
The only thing that surprised me is that when he took it off, the house rotted, but he didn't pop.
Oh, I was going to get to that later.
I was waiting. I wanted him to pop when he took it off.
Cumin, huh? Is that what he was
snorting? I thought it was cinnamon.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever it was.
Cumin.
Yes. Was it cumin?
It's cumin in the Indian food.
Ah, gotcha. See.
Rest in peace, department.
You're lucky, Nick. You have skills that we want. So we're giving you a choice. You can take your chances with judgment, or you can join the RIPD.
The RIPD.
Rest in peace, department.
I get it. It's cute.
Simply put, we find dead people that have managed to escape judgment. We ship them off back down to where they belong. Tour is 100 years. You say yes, we'll send you back down to Boston. Your home turf.
I'll do it.
Yeah, that didn't take much convincing right then.
No. That's not.
Did anybody else find her stale?
Proctor?
I liked her. I liked her for what she was.
I found her stale, but I felt that was her character.
Exactly.
I felt that's who she was. And the other thing side of that was her unstale parts were her little jabs where she was constantly increasingly hinting at the former relationship.
But largely with still that same delivery.
But it was still, and I like that it's as kind a of character. Flat.
Her
I
character was character also choice. Supposed to be hundreds of years old.
Oh yeah, no, I bought it.
Roy Cephas had 3 extensions. It sounded like she'd given all of them.
Also, after you've checked in that many dead people at that long, and you've been doing that job that long, you'd probably start to sound a little stale too.
That was actually one of the favorite things about her character establishment right there was the whole her sitting there going, "You'll get it. Yeah. Come on, figure it out. You're a smart guy."
Yeah.
So like she's sitting there drinking something. And then the line I didn't catch of this, "What's with the Steely Dan?" I don't know. It's just always playing. I'll find it relaxing. That's great. Let's see. See, like the metal, I should have expected Steely Dan to come back later. Oh, if they'd only had some Steely Dandettos going on, that would have been great. speaking of British.
Holding, call them Dettos. Until they pop, they look like regular people, so no one except us knows they're monsters inside. Hey. You see, if you slip through the cracks and stay on Earth after you die, your soul rots. They rot, the world rots. Global warming, black plague, bad cell reception, get it? Without the RIPD, the world would have been overrun by these dead people sometime in 1954.
How's staying an option?
150,000 people die every day. The system wasn't designed to handle that kind of volume.
Yeah, that's your setup right there. It's like, oh, shit's going to break down. That's why we're doing this. So I like the implication here that the Dettos are responsible for all the bad existential threats that we have to deal with as a human race.
Yeah,
I don't
global
like that.
Global warming. What the hell kind of story point is that? Yeah, it almost absolves us from any responsibility for things ourselves.
That's why I don't like it. Right, yeah.
That's right,
exactly what I didn't like about it.
Weeks.
I liked it.
No, actually, people did that. That's on us. But no, it's...
I'm okay with flickering lights and, you know, the floor waxer going on the fritz shorting out of nowhere. Yeah. Dogs barking and being annoying. But global warming, no.
I could even... Bad cell reception. I can work with that one.
A call drops because a Ditto walks by you. Okay, I get that. That's fine.
The whole technology. Yeah. The Dresden universe is like that. The wizards, they affect like technology around them weirdly. So like he can't go near a computer, for example. He has to do everything old school. Things like that. I think shit just breaks. I had a weird moment too with the flickering lights and stuff because I've been watching a series called In From the Cold on Netflix. If you haven't checked this out, it's pretty intense. It's kind of a spy thriller with a like former Russian agent who'd been hiding out, and like this guy finds her, figures out who she used to be, and forces her back into an operating, huh. You know, into operation. Oh.
Yeah, I saw a few episodes of that. Julie started binging.
Oh, so you did? So you don't talk about the Flickering Lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she has, there's a twist in it where she has an unusual ability, and it messes with the immediate environment a bit. And so it just made me think, as soon as I saw that, I was like, wrong franchise.
Wrong continuity.
Meet Roy.
Roy!
What? He was going for the door. I'll plant a gun on him if it makes you feel any better.
Would you like to take this up with Eternal Affairs?
We both know what this is about, don't we, Honeypot?
Not the time, Roy.
Why not have it out now? I'm comfortable.
Roy, meet your new partner, Nick Walker.
We've been over this before. I'm a one-man operation.
Not a choice, Roy.
Jason.
Plant a gun on what? They don't even leave clothes behind. They turn into a swirling pool of silvery goo that just evaporates.
I think it was a metaphor.
Yeah, I don't think he meant it literally. Because also wouldn't have made any sense and couldn't have been done that way.
I wanted to jump on a couple things with this clip. First of all, as soon as he walked on the screen, I looked over at, in fact, you. I was watching it with you.
Yeah, we watched
over,
it together.
I looked over and I was like, Colonel Sanders?
Wasn't he Colonel Sanders, one of the Colonel Sanderses?
I don't think so.
I did not actually recognize that was Jeff Bridges until a little ways down, because when he started speaking, I didn't recognize his voice either.
Yeah, you did make that audible comment a little bit later. It's like, I can't believe that's Jeff Daniel. Or no, I can't believe.
I can't believe that's Flynn.
I can't believe that's Flynn. That's what he said. It was a good 20 minutes into the movie. It's like, I can't believe that's Flynn.
But the other thing I wanted to say is Eternal Affairs.
Eternal Affairs. That's brilliant.
That made me laugh too.
Eternal Affairs.
The first time in that scene, I wasn't sure if that's what she had said.
Yeah.
And then it occurred to me that that's what she should have said. When it came up, I was like so happy to notice.
Better though, because I had gotten a huge kick previously out of the opposite but related joke when I was reading a book story about demons and shit, and they were dealing with Infernal Affairs.
Nice.
So, yeah.
But yeah, there were a number of little itty bitty just shifts for the reality.
So good.
It wasn't good. I liked it.
Jeff is just a good character actor.
Oh man,
yes. He is
so
incredibly ranged.
Let's see, Witsec.
I'll do something nice for you.
What just happened? How could she not know it was me?
To them, you don't look like you. You don't sound like you. If you try to tell them who you are, it comes out all garbled up. The universe, in its ultimate wisdom, will not let you reveal yourself. It's smarter than us.
That's sick.
Consider it the universe's witness protection program.
So what do I look like?
Here. These are your IDs. Some federal, a lot of utilities, whatever gets us access.
Really? An old Chinese guy? What about you? Well, I guess you win, boy.
It's different music that time still.
Yeah.
I guess you win, Roy. If you've seen it, you get it.
Again, Roy's been doing it for hundreds of years. He probably got some upgrades on IDs.
I love the idea. Apparently. ID he got for Nick at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And how does that help? How do you have IDs that get you anywhere when you're a Girl Scout?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
That's a very valid.
It's not a good cover.
It's a joke. It's just a joke.
But it's a bad joke with a bad premise.
It's the very last moment in the movie. It's just a joke.
And it leaves a horrible taste in your mouth that completely alleviates any possibility of having a sequel.
This movie was never going to have a sequel.
I think if it had, it would have been funny to see him have to deal with that. I'm sorry. You know what, Roy? It turns out my ID won't get me in here. For some reason, they don't buy that I'm a cop.
If it had got a sequel, they would have just hand waved it and had him get another ID before the movie started.
Or gotten his old ID back.
Yeah.
Well, and
or set it a couple hundred years in the future.
I mean, to kind of jump on that though, because you have a valid point, but how believable
RIPD-2199.
How believable is some official badge or ID with the bombshell holding it, especially when she's got a hairdryer stashed in her belt?
Boobs are the universal key to every door.
He's not lying.
That's actually a thing. I always just assumed that was a stupid trope. Is that really a thing?
It's a stupid trope.
It depends on how ditzy you are.
Tropes are not just things you throw away. Tropes are the keys to the imagination. They are the thing that it gives us access.
I meant
stories.
In real life. Does it work in real life?
It doesn't work for me because I have a brain as well, but I have seen it work for people, legitimately.
I like the way That's this is going, but so I'm going to stop there.
And there are audience members with brains that use it to their advantage in ways that are sneaky and conniving.
I'm just
and
too
clever.
Snarky.
Snark is fine. Snark and boobs is better.
Brief after action report. Now, you're below average in the room. But you did respond well to my steering during the airborne portion. Your internal organs provided me a very soft landing. You have a very impressive crumple zone. With the exception of letting yourself get attached directly to the VZ.
Stop talking.
You're solid. C+.
Stop talking.
Such good interaction.
To be fair,
I did like their chemistry.
He hadn't shut up for more than 10 seconds since he walked on the screen.
And he didn't shut up for 10 seconds the rest of the movie.
That's true.
That's part of his character.
Which is weird in a Ryan Reynolds film.
It is.
Because Ryan Reynolds is usually the one that never stops talking. So but to watch a Ryan Reynolds movie that Ryan Reynolds is not talking all the way through and that he's telling someone else to be quiet, that's saying something.
And I enjoyed the character departure because I thought it still worked well.
It really did. I have to agree.
There's actually a name for that trope. I was going to look it up. Where they have
Motor Mouth?
No, the opposite, where they have the guy who usually is the overactor, you know, who doesn't do the big role, who comes in and it's like dim something or other. You're talking amongst yourselves. Like, I'll see if I can find it.
D-muck. Wait, no.
I don't know anyone.
Like Dan Aykroyd being the straight man in Dragnet?
Oh, man.
He was more than the straight man. He was also the comic relief at the same time. Man.
I haven't even seen that one.
Oh God, he was Friday.
You should watch that one. I'll even tell you, you should watch that one.
That was good.
If Jason says it, I'll believe it.
I haven't seen Dragnet since I was 8 years old.
Well, that means that it hasn't been ruined for you yet.
When I was 8 years old, my only option was black and white.
I won't give you an opinion on whether you should watch it or not.
Based on 8-year-old you? Fair enough.
Dragnet, I've seen many times. It is definitely worth watching. I think you should probably be in the right frame of mind, though.
Well, I don't usually have to be talked into watching something with Dan Aykroyd, but it sounds like this is not your typical Dan Aykroyd. So.
No, but it's, yeah.
He has got a little weirder as he's gotten older, though.
And the weirder he gets, the more I like him.
That doesn't surprise me, so. I was going to see if I could find it. I'm not really finding it. I did enjoy it though. I think that Ryan Reynolds is actually really good at this, and he has a way of still being snarky when he's, you know,
snarky yet down. Straight,
And I think that's a little bit of his charm anyway, because he can definitely kind of pull that off.
Yes. I'm trying not to talk about Free Guy now.
Oh, please, thank you. I don't want to start talking about that because I'm not sure I'd stop.
Okay, now I have to get it out. I liked the movie. I have seen it.
I watched it, and then I watched it again the next day, and I'll probably go back and watch it again this weekend.
I need to watch it again.
Then again some point this week. I just really liked that movie, like all of it.
Like bubblegum ice cream?
I love bubblegum ice cream. I've always loved bubblegum ice cream. I discovered it at Baskin-Robbins when I was like 7.
Yeah, I
loved it. I thought it was the most amazing ice cream ever made because you could eat the ice cream and then you still get to chew the bubblegum.
I usually also ate the bubblegum. I don't know. Something about frozen bubblegum, it chews easy.
It breaks actually into tiny little, but then they meld back together like the Terminator from T2.
Not if you swallow fast enough.
Well, I don't swallow bubblegum. And you shouldn't. It's bad for you. It gums up your works.
Not true.
So Zach Galifianakis was originally cast as Roy.
Oh,
I'm so glad that they got Jeff Bridges.
Thank goodness that elevated it.
I have no idea who that is.
He's an incredibly funny comedian.
He would not have fit this role.
Interesting acting parts. He usually has a beard.
Yeah. But he doesn't have gravitas.
No, there's no gravitas.
He's in the Hangover movies.
Which I didn't watch.
I was about to say,
he's so goofy.
Oh.
He is.
Does he do a lot of like stupid comedy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I am not a fan of stupid comedy.
Predominantly
stupid. He's in a lot of the stupid comedy.
So yeah, that's why.
But he's not a leading man, though.
He has a very he is a very talented actor, and he has done some things that are good, and his stand-up is hilarious.
Does he do the Between Two Ferns thing?
Yes, he does
Between Two Ferns.
You should check that out just to see what kind of guy we're talking about, because Between Two Ferns is an example of extraordinarily uncomfortable comedy.
Yes.
Because he literally does interviews with people about nothing that they want to be talked about in an extremely claustrophobic set.
Hmm.
There's no personal space.
I see.
I will say Zach Galifianakis was also in one of my favorite movies, but it was not a comedy role. It's always a funny, it's kind of a funny story.
Oh, was he in that?
Yes, he was.
I haven't seen it.
It was not a comedy.
Was it kind of a funny story?
It was a drama.
Only kind of, apparently.
All right.
But he did drop out of this due to scheduling conflicts. Unfortunately, we got Jeff Bridges. So
that's for the best.
Jodie Foster was considered for the role of Proctor. I think that would have been fantastic.
That would have been fantastic.
That would have been interesting.
I still think the actress that did it did fine.
Or at least Proctor did fine. Great. I agree.
Did great.
But I think
Jodie Foster would have brought a different feel, and it would have been interesting, too.
I'm not a huge fan of Jodie Foster.
Okay.
That's fair.
Most of the things that I've seen her act in, she comes across as a flat actress. I don't see much range in her, like, ever. But that might just be what I've seen her in.
Probably. I don't know, but probably. Because she's an Academy Award winner.
That doesn't mean a lot.
Really. No, we don't respect the Academy ever since Cloud Atlas. But
the Academy is actors rating actors. That's the problem.
It is a problem and not a problem at the same time when you're talking about range and ability. Because most of the time, actors are going to pick people that they respect for the craft. Not just for a popularity contest. But, you know, they're all popular because it's a popularity contest. So it's hard to say.
Right.
Yep.
In any case, I was immediately reminded of her role in... did we see her in something on the show? Did we talk?
Jodie Foster?
No. I think I'm thinking of Meryl Streep in The Giver. Was it Meryl Streep?
We did see her in The Giver, yes.
Jodie was in the... Oh, I know what it was. A little while back, Julie and I watched that movie with Matt Damon where he goes up to the space station.
Mars movie?
Elysium,
thank you.
Oh, that one.
And she's the... kind of the bad guy in Elysium.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one, so I do not remember.
And it wasn't too long ago we watched that, so that's what I was thinking. Anyway.
That one we should watch for the show, just saying.
I have a couple more credits. Elysium would be a really great choice, actually.
It would.
Especially if you guys haven't seen it. It's great dystopian sci-fi.
It is.
It was a long time ago.
Let's see. This one is Magnificent.
Let me guess. R.I.P.D., huh? Great looks, man. You with your Panda Express over there.
Easy with the racial.
And you with your...
Watch it.
Magnificent breasts.
Hey, Sideburns, tell us about the gold.
Look, we're all friends here. Let's help each other out. You don't want to get popped, and I don't want to pop you.
Oh, you don't?
No. So you're just going to give us that case, you're going to start talking, and then you get to keep roaming around with your bitchin' ginger sideburns.
And they were.
To be fair, they also looked cool after he popped.
Yeah, he was a great-looking, grotesque thing.
He was absolutely nothing grotesque.
Stops the blob.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Actually, I thought he kind of looked like a leprechaun.
Kinda.
I get that.
Yeah, is that the ginger giant sideburn thing?
The ginger sideburns didn't help that.
A leprechaun from 40K.
Well.
I can see that really easily.
That's a little different, yeah. MacGuffin.
The gold that officers Pulsifer and Walker brought in are part of an incredibly dangerous artifact known as the Staff of Jericho.
Ominous music cue.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Crap.
Maybe feathered in for the new guy a little bit.
Remember the tunnel we pulled you out of when you died? That's the only way to get to the afterlife. It's a one-way street. This artifact, if built, reverses the tunnel. The dead rain down on the earth, that's it for the living world. Yep, massive destruction. We broke it to pieces 3,000 years ago. Now it's back.
Just a little setup for you for the end of the movie. That was actually a good chunk of the way into the movie, too. It took a little while for them to go ahead and develop that into something that we knew about. But the gold was there from the very beginning.
It still felt like a natural progression.
Yeah. That was, it was that thing. It's similar to what
people say, called predictable, but you know.
Yeah.
And I will say, I'm going to take back one of my earlier things that I said when I was talking about when I caught things. I caught the gold was going to be important as soon as I saw the gold, and it looked like puzzle pieces with runic marks on them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was automatically going to be, it's like, wait a second, this is some kind of a...
That was pieces of a thing.
This is a piece of a thing of a thing, and he's got pieces, and he's got pieces, and he's going to have to go back to her place and get his pieces.
Yep. Yeah. Good call.
I had a few nitpicks there, though, but I can touch on that later.
All right. Sing it, Jeff.
Words like daggers stab our heart. Boy. Gotta be the better man. Song's called Better Man.
Yeah, I got that.
People, they can break your heart. Boy. Like no coyote ever can.
Maybe I took things a little too far.
Maybe.
There was a version of that in the credits also, if you didn't catch it.
I did not catch it.
It was hilarious.
Oh, wow. Go back and listen to that.
That instrument he's playing, what's that called?
Concertina? Squeeze box?
Yeah, concertina.
I cannot believe Jeff Bridges knows how to play a concertina.
Probably was, too. It is a very, or he learned how to for that, because it's not that complicated instrument. But he, that style, that cowboy poetry, kind of cowboy balladeer stuff, I mean, how much of that kind of shit did we hear for years playing in the scene in Dodge City?
Right.
Doing the, because Kid and I used to set up sound for variety shows and stuff.
We were literally in Dodge City, yes.
So many cowboy poets and balladeers out there, and you'd hear that kind of stuff all the time. At about that level of skill. It was great.
I mean, realistically.
Great isn't the word I would have used, but.
It definitely magnified the heritage of the geography we were attaching ourselves to at the time.
I mean, Roy Cephas was supposed to be a cowboy.
Speaking of which.
Where's the gold, dead man?
Check the water here.
Oh, freaking super goddamn.
All right, saddle up.
We're going to ride you in.
I know it's wrong, but the whole cowboy talk thing, it's kind of working for me.
I just love that. Sorry, I keep looking at Jason, and he's the one not smiling at all this. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm somehow doing something wrong every time. Like he's my mom over in the corner, just kind of frowning at me.
Silent judgment.
It's not that bad.
I do have to say that I feel like out of the entire movie, this scene, this extended scene sequence, was definitely the best scene for Kevin Bacon, hands down.
Well, it was practically the only scene for Kevin Bacon, hands down.
It was definitely his big part of the movie. Yeah, it was good.
Just that
all the way to the cop station.
That snarky smirk of his, it's just so good.
And that was the thing.
He just want to slap it off his face.
He looked like he was having fun. His character was so relaxed, consequentially, about everything.
And yet,
which the cue to us, I mean, that looks pretty obvious. Oh, that was kind of easy. You know, it's could they freaking, because they're not watching a movie. Yeah.
Well, you know, Roy is supposed to have centuries of experience at this shit. I feel like this one's on him.
That's fair.
Of the two of them, he's definitely the more responsible one.
Although he obviously hadn't been doing police work, since that's what got them here, and he was confounded by the whole process at the beginning.
He wasn't familiar with modern police work.
Yeah, he's
used to working alone, and he has a partner, and that throws off his groove.
Basically, he was an officer.
That's fair.
He was a lawman. He wasn't an investigator. He wasn't a detective. So I mean, things have changed a lot.
I have to say, Nabadi Abadalkin is having that exact same issue.
That was a D&D character he's referencing, by the way.
His job was to go pop dedos and bring them back or kill them. One of the two.
He was probably more supposed to be bringing them back, but was in actuality more killing them, from what we can tell.
From what we can tell, he was doing more killing and less bringing back.
How about an existentially horrifying concept here, by the way, too? Just to kind of break it down for a moment, a reality in this movie. So when we die, this is the world we end up in, right? So it's possible that we can go on. It's possible we advance to something. We elevate to something or whatever. Judgments.
The furthest we got was like a purgatory. We didn't see what happened after judgment.
But our souls are pretty fragile if people can wander around with guns that just pop us into nothingness.
Well,
they might have been special guns too.
They're special bullets.
Yeah, they were special bullets. That's not the point.
Kind of covered that.
But the bad guys had a bunch of them in the final scene too, and yeah. they were just popping people willy nilly, and could have been popping our good guys willy nilly. And that would have been all she wrote.
And the movie makes it clear that if that happens to you, you are erased.
Yep, you're done. Erasure just doesn't matter. And maybe it's because it's purgatory that it doesn't matter.
If the bullets and the such that are used for deados also work on the cops, then the other rules should be the same, which means the deados shouldn't have been able to have a bomb that doesn't hurt them that does hurt the cops. The rules are either the same or they're different. And
that's not entirely true. A square is a rectangle, or a rectangle. Yeah, square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square.
The cops don't have rotting souls also, so it might be something that affected fresher souls that didn't affect rotting souls.
And Indian food doesn't pop cops, which makes me wonder, what happens to deados in India? Are they just screwed right from the get-go?
Cuban everywhere, pop!
Anyway.
Maybe they have different triggers. Maybe it was just the ones in Boston that were triggered by Cuban. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, it's not a good question, but it is interesting.
Not a good question.
Not a good question at all. Yeah, but I just, existentially, this is right, because even though we're talking purgatory, it wasn't intentional purgatory. I mean, they did point out that a lot of souls just kind of slipped through the cracks. These weren't necessarily people that were avoiding judgment in every case. These were people that were avoiding going to the world beyond their own. They were avoiding the afterlife.
They refused to accept that they were dead.
Which he would have done too. You know, which it seems like would have been a reasonable conclusion for anybody. They had the opportunity and slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
So
they did say the system wasn't built to handle as many people as were dying.
I only have one more. Honky Tonk BS.
Let's settle up.
Sure. I would like to be allowed to design my own medal.
Not so fast. The Eternals went ahead and had your disciplinary hearing without you.
While we were saving the world?
Nick, as a new recruit, you've been let off with a warning.
Reasonable.
Boreas punishment.
Punishment?
Yes. 53 more years have been added to your term.
53
that's,
years?
That's a lot.
This is Honky Tonk bullshit. You just like having me around, don't you, Mildred?
Her name is Mildred.
Mildred Proctor.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Rich, what do you got?
All right. Well, thumbs up. I'm just going to start with my thumbs up because I know my thumbs up. I did the pacing, the action. I thought it was all well-timed. I enjoyed the watch. I really enjoyed the movie. And I think more people should see it, should have seen it, whatever. On the downside, I have to have a thumbs down, don't I?
Your rules, I might add.
I know, right?
You're the one that made the rule.
It's a good rule. You should be able to say something positive and negative. Unfortunately, I learned that from management training.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll go ahead and run with the fact that it is a little cartoony. I that's probably as good as I can get. I enjoyed it.
But you like cartoony, don't you?
in a way. But the graphics, I don't know.
That's fine.
It is what it is.
I feel like you're phoning it in, sir.
I'm totally phoning it in.
And the phone has been disconnected for the past couple of minutes. I'm not really sure.
I'm fine.
It's a party
I'm
line.
I'm sorry. It's been a long week. But no, this was a good movie, and this was a good part of it, and I'm glad. Thank you for introducing me to it. Overall, it had a good feel. It had a good story. It was interesting to watch. I don't know. I would enjoy exploring some more of this world, but what are you going to do after you do the big world thing? Because if you escalate it, I'm not going to like it. So, and if you do the same type of thing, I'm not going to like it. So, but I probably could have done like a couple of seasons of a television show with like 13 episodes a season. It probably would have been all right.
Yeah, could have been
doing some
show.
More mundane, smaller plots. I think I would enjoy that.
Something episodic. Yeah.
I do think you should watch the movie. I'm going to go ahead and give it 4 stars.
Yeah, 4 stars is something you had trouble coming up with a thumbs down for. It actually really says something to me. You want to see what I learned in
management? I didn't dislike anything of it.
Want to see what I learned in management training? That was all really good. Is there anything you think you could have done differently? Vanessa, what do you got? I lost her.
Give me a second. Sorry, you threw me off. Okay. Seriously, 2 thumbs down. 1, Kevin Bacon's voice changed when he popped, and that threw me off.
Yeah.
It got like this weird deep gravelly, like it sound, his voice sounded cartoony, and with the cartoony feel of the movie, it got weird. 2, Dedos would have definitely been noticed by the living before now. That being said, I'm still okay with the plot. I freaking love this movie. The story is great. Everything's great. I'm still giving it 5 stars.
Nice. Jason?
Oh, okay.
It's okay. You can break me. It's fine.
Oh, I know I'm not going to break you. I'm, my opinion isn't going to change anything.
Oh, gosh, no. I could watch this movie again tomorrow and be perfectly happy.
A comedian said once, if my words can break your faith in something, was it ever really that strong to begin with?
Exactly. My 5 stars is solid.
I wish I could have turned off my brain and popcorned this one.
Yeah, I could feel that from you.
That's fair.
I did not get it. I didn't enjoy it. There were some fun action sequences. Thumbs up. The action sequences were amusing. Even as they were making the movie less and less believable as the blonde is being dragged by a giant fat man walking up walls and through windows and crashing into the office. No. This world could not exist. I don't believe in this world. And that breaks me. I don't mind fictional worlds. I don't mind worlds that couldn't exist here.
But you require some degree of internal consistency.
But I need them to make sense in their own world. Like, one of the only things that I can think of that's so comic and grotesque and out of place all at the same time that I can think of right off the top of my head is Alita Battle Angel.
Which
and
was a lovely
in
movie.
In that world, those things existed.
Yeah.
They were everywhere. There were grotesque giant things. They were a part of the world. It was a thing. It couldn't work in our world. It wasn't our world. It was their world, and it worked. This movie didn't, and it gave me issues every step of the way.
I wonder if that is because this was pretending to be our world, so to speak, because it takes place in a modern day reality that we don't see or something like that. That the conceit of it is that it is somehow our world. Because like Alita Battle Angel, for example, is complete fantasy.
Right. And maybe that's the thing. But it tried to imply at times that it could be our world. It tried to be Men in Black and it failed.
And suspension of disbelief was just gone. Just like
and
that.
Suspension of disbelief was gone.
I respect that. Yeah, and, I get you.
Yeah.
And it was so predictable. And every little piece of the puzzle, nothing ever came at me and went, oh, yeah, oh, wow, surprise. No, none of it. It was trope after trope on top of trope. Cartoon, comic book, couldn't work, didn't like it.
Vanessa are sitting here, yep, thumbs up.
And the only thing that could have made it better was more James Hong.
I agree yeah, with every single downvote you have, but still 5 stars.
Well, and that's the thing. With a good 5-star in your heart movie, you're going to forgive. I don't think a 5-star movie shouldn't have downvotes. I think a 5-star movie means I don't care about the downvotes.
To be more accurate, actually, I would have to say that the things that are bothering you not only didn't bother me, but I like them. They're things I appreciate about the story.
Yeah.
Not every one of them. I mean, you're right about – I mean, you're on the nose about the suspension of disbelief issue. I've got you there. But I feel personally that's something that could have been addressed as simple as creating an element in the story that explained it. And without having changed anything else in the story, they could add one line somewhere that said, you know, weird things are happening right now. These deados usually aren't that obvious to people. This is strange. This all is happening so fast. Something that just changed the nature of where it stands inside the world.
Or
for
have some
example.
Sort of cleanup crew, even.
Right. But I that's not really important. I'm just pointing out that it's not even that we are willing to forgive or overlook problem. It's that they are not problems to us. Sometimes they are advantages
that's
to what
fair.
We're enjoying in the film.
And as I've said many times before, different people enjoy different things for different reasons. And
you said that?
I have said that. I live by that, you know.
I know.
That's the only thing that lets me sleep at night after trashing certain movies.
That's fair.
Especially when they're movies that you loved as a child.
Especially when they're
that. I feel so bad for you sometimes.
Yeah,
but you know, but I know that
sometimes nostalgia isn't strong enough to get you 3 stars.
But it doesn't take away what you had.
Right.
And that's I think what's important, what's relevant. Especially with things like movies.
Unless it's the Dark Crystal, in which case it just breaks my heart and rips it out and stomps on it. And
we all have those moments, man.
I've only seen that movie once and it was like 2 years ago.
Oh, if it was 2 years ago, then it was probably too late for nostalgia to kick in.
Yeah.
Sorry. anyway, long story short, the movie gets 2 stars. There was some fun. I didn't hate it. I wasn't waiting for it to turn off. And it didn't offend me. You know, I wasn't.
Well, and you said you think you would have enjoyed it if you could have turned your brain off.
Yeah, if I wasn't watching it for the podcast and I could have got a bucket of popcorn and just sat down and said, oh, it's this movie. Okay. I could have had fun with it. But watching it for what we're doing.
Now, and that's one of the areas where I feel strongly that you're right.
Solid respect for your 2 stars, sir.
I don't. There are a lot of things that I will forgive in the way that you're talking about, or, you know, be just fine with and go ahead and rate a movie high for exactly that reason, because I don't let those things bother me, or because those things just don't bother me, right? I'll watch a movie and I know that it's enjoyable. Even if I look at it critically and know it has problems, I ask myself, am I enjoying this? Am I able to enjoy this? Is that detracting from that for me? It does detract for you.
I am here for part of the audience that
thinks
critically.
And I absolutely believe that there is a strong contingent of people out there just like you who would disagree with me about a lot of those things. And I'm very comfortable with that.
$73 million out of $140 million budget. America got it right the first time. Don't see this movie.
I disagree. I think America didn't realize enough that this was going on because of everything else that was out on the box office at the time. And it was a summer movie. And it was built like a summer movie. It was a popcorn movie. Kid, you're over there being awfully quiet.
Hi. Okay, so I'm going to chime in a little bit on what you guys were just talking about. And at the same time, I'm going to get my major thumbs down out of the way, because there's a lot of what you guys are talking about, you know, failure of internal consistency, what have you, that doesn't really blip on my radar. But sometimes something happens that is just a blatantly obvious sloppy writing. You know, someone got complacent, someone didn't care, whatever. It's sloppy writing. But other times, it's worse than that. Other times, I feel like the person who wrote the movie is literally mocking the audience and how stupid and how much contempt he has for their inability to notice or care about how little a shit he gives about what he's doing in his movie. Now, all of that being said, I don't think that's literally what happened here, but there was one out of the many failures of internal consistency that we touched on earlier that definitely hit me in a bad way. And that was when they pulled his St. Christopher medallion and his soul rot instantly corroded the entire house to the point where it split in half. That is so grotesquely out of proportion from anything else we've seen in the movie that it has to be explained. Something has to explain it other than just the dramatic reveal that he is such a bad guy, such a rotten soul. He's only been dead for 5 years. By the rules,
5 years is a long time to be dead.
Compared to what exactly? I mean, they don't give us anything else, but no one else that we see in this movie, you know, the guy whose apartment they go to, he's got a flickering light and a cracked button on an elevator. That's what his soul rot has accumulated to.
Yeah, but they don't say how long he's been dead either. It could have been a week.
It could have. It was obviously more than a... Well, anyways, the contact, his contact, the Red Sox CI, guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously been around for a while. And yet there was almost no evidence of his soul rot.
I think that part of what they're...
Except for the Red Sox sucking.
I think that you're also...
That's the global warming thing. That's a fallacious argument. I don't buy it for a second.
What, Red Sox fan? So the issue I think there, the element I think that, besides the reveal, which is the point of that scene, but it's intended to be uber dramatic.
Yes.
But the point there, I think, is the fact that he is so corrupt. It is more than just an equanimity of this soul rots and this soul rots and they have the same amount of energy in that rot or whatever. He was so corrupt and so vile and doing this thing and on top of that, using some sort of magic to keep it at bay where it would continue to put pressure building up and building up and building up to the point where it's removed, it just goes.
I could possibly buy that the building up argument.
This wasn't him popping.
No, he didn't pop. That was just his...
That was the environmental effects that all of them have on their median environment.
Right.
All showcasing at once. From all that time that he wasn't.
So you're saying if he had never been wearing the medallion, we're supposed to believe that that's the effect he would have had on the house by now.
If he'd been hanging out that whole time. Because again, I don't think it's a matter of it's showing the progression that it would have had. I think it's all that happening at once, such a powerful effect on the environment. To me, that actually worked consistently.
So back in the day when I was a big, big fan of comic books, Stan Lee, Jim Shooter, they had this thing called the No Prize. Maybe some of you have heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I was a huge fan of this concept. It was genius. If you wrote a letter to the editor explaining not only that you had caught a plot hole in your favorite issue of Iron Man 79, whatever, but offered them an explanation as to why it wasn't, in fact, a plot hole at all, and they found it believable, and mm-hmm. they would not only publish your letter, but you would win a no prize. And a no prize literally was an envelope that they would mail to you that contained nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
That was your reward for protecting the internal continuity of their story. And I loved that. And I kind of feel like you're barking up a no prize tree here, because I want to give it to you. I just wish there had been something in the movie to validate this. And I feel like if they had been even trying,
well,
they could have easily slipped in some tiny little thing to put that out there where everyone would be like, oh, that's why.
In contrast to your explanation, though, I wasn't sitting here thinking about how to invalidate what you said.
No,
that was my honest reaction to it when I watched the movie.
The second time?
Well, I don't remember the first time. Okay. I didn't even remember any of this happening.
Because this was my first time. So I
really felt like that didn't require an explanation, because that was the sense it made to me.
Well,
and if it hit me that way, you know.
It hit me in the fashion that I was like, I really want to see what the explanation for this is going to be. And I was watching for it, and they never gave me one.
Okay, so the apologist in me is saying that for the one that they got in the apartments. He had a flickering light. He had a broken elevator button. That means that he's left the room and gone places. So the rot would have been like spread out.
That's literally how they found him. Because
exactly. So the rot was spread out.
But Kevin
Bacon's, his wasn't spread out.
What's
spread
Kevin Bacon's
out.
Character's name again?
I don't remember. Hayes. Detective, Hayes. Whatever.
He had a job.
Hayes,
he
he's a detective.
But he wasn't doing. He wasn't spreading any of that energy at that.
It all popped at the same time.
Exactly. The energy would have been spread out, but because of the medallion, he was holding it in, and it came out like
that's
a bomb.
That's literally the argument you're making. Okay, I follow you now.
So that's the apologist side, and it's
that's pretty good.
And both of those could be perfectly viable explanations. My point was there should have been something in the movie.
Oh, no.
Even if it
totally
was
understand that.
Something you had to look for, or something that you had to connect the dots on later.
We go around about that topic a lot, though, about whether or not the movie needs to explain every little thing.
Yeah. It doesn't need to explain every little thing, but this is not a little thing.
It was
thing.
A big thing.
This was a big thing.
Now, can I be an apologist for a second?
Sure.
Ooh,
Mr.
Yes.
Two Stars? If you have a pile
because
of
Kit
sand.
Does not get a thumbs down, we're going to fix this.
Yeah. Hey, just only because
we're doing it.
We're on it.
Yeah, because it's the nerdy thing to do.
If you have a pile of sand and a bucket of water, and you pour the bucket of water onto the pile of sand, disperse. The sand's going to go all over the place.
Okay.
If you take a bucket of water and you spoon it out one spoonful at a time, the sand absorbs the water and will not go anywhere. This is 5 years of rot at once.
I like that example.
Bucket.
Damn it. That's good.
I really like that
example. That is an excellent analogy.
Now, much like Richard, Kid does not have a thumbs down. Very well done, sir.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to kill your thumbs down, but I was trying to explain.
However, my actual thumbs down remains unwavered by any of that, because my thumbs down was that there should have been something.
Oh, yeah, completely.
I was looking for it. I was waiting for it. I wanted the explanation because I liked that it happened, but I wanted to know why. The movie didn't give it to me. You guys did, and all of those, great. Your analogy in particular, great. But the movie didn't give it to me, and so the movie still gets my thumbs down.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
I don't like movies to explain every little thing to me.
I don't like them to explain every little thing either.
Especially
but when
comic
I
book
get
movies.
My teeth onto something that I want an answer to, I'd prefer to get it from the movie than from an apologist after the fact.
Right, but the context in the movie is sufficient. It just does the thing.
Yeah, I sometimes dream in exposition, so that's a whole I have woken up just having a series of thoughts as
sounds
my dream.
Like lyrics from a song.
I dream in exposition.
Da, 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 da. Well, now no. I don't really want to do my thumbs up.
No, you're good, man. You're good. I appreciate
please.
What you just went through so much.
And to be honest, My thumbs up are many, but I'm really only going to hit on a couple of highlights real quick here. The big one for me is very clearly and dominantly Jeff Bridges' performance throughout the movie. I loved yes. Roy Cephas. He was absolutely my favorite character in the movie, and that's over Ryan Reynolds, who was doing a fantastic job as per his usual and whom I very much enjoy. The final climactic encounter with the holes popping up in the sky and the dead falling and then going down and then going back up again. That was hilarious. There were so many things to love about the climax of this movie, and I loved all of them. Except for one tiny little thing, I did not like the effects, the visual effects that went with Haze. With Haze, when he popped, the cracked look. It was just so understated compared to what I was expecting by that point, because he's kind of the big bad.
Yeah, and it kind of kept him looking very Kevin Bacon.
Which like, obviously was
this was his contract. Maybe you don't hire Kevin Bacon for your villain and then take the Kevin Bacon out of him at the end. I don't know.
But and that's a nitpick. That doesn't even break a thumbs down for me.
It's good.
All told, I really want to give this movie like a B-, but because of our rating system, the closest thing I can give to it ends up feeling more like a C+, which is 3.5 stars.
There you go. You know, I really feel like the one thing at the end that I expected them to do differently, and I was fine with the way they ended up. I expected them to kill Julia. Is that her name? I should remember that. Was that her name? His girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the French girl.
I expected them to kill her. Then she'd be with him.
Well, I'm glad they didn't, though.
But she didn't get to stay with him.
She couldn't be a part of RIPD.
Well, I know.
Oh, she would have gone on past judgment, and he still would have been.
Maybe, but that would have been they would have done. As you pointed out at the end, they didn't stick to a rule that was internally sensible.
They still gave her closure.
Them to kill her and
at the end of Men in Black. Right. At the end of Men in Black 2, the woman stays with Jay and becomes a Men in Black agent, even though there's no expectation that she should have been qualified.
Anybody could be a Men in Black agent. That's
no. Jay had to go through that intense scrutiny and tryout process that all those other very qualified people did not qualify for. Remember? It was a huge trope in the first movie. The fact is that they could have decided at the end of this, you know what, maybe she'd make a good RIPD agent since she died under special circumstances, helping save the world. We'll give her this opportunity if you want to stay. They could have done that. I was fine that they didn't. It just kind of surprised me that they didn't do something like that since they went through the trouble of almost killing her anyway.
Well, they did kill her. They just kind of cheated to unkill her after the fact. Because she was dead. She had the whole time stop thing and everything.
She had the whole time stop thing. She just didn't get sucked up.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's not a deado.
Right.
Right. No. They unkilled her. They brought her back. She had a near-death experience.
It sounded like Proctor did it as a favor, too. Might have given her life back.
Makes me wonder what kind of powers they have.
That makes that last scene make a little more sense, too. Like, when he thanks her, I was like, why?
Like, maybe it was, like, close enough to a near-death experience that they decided to give her life back.
That works. Anyway, it was just weird.
Maybe, I'm very apologetic for this affairs. Movie.
5 stars for me, Rich. You got any idea where that puts us?
that puts us at 4 stars, which means that it is somewhat recommended. But it's recommended. Also recommended with popcorn.
Yeah, this one's definitely a popcorn movie.
What if I can't
eat popcorn?
Yeah, I get that. The little stuff that gets salty. Stuck in your
anything
teeth
salty.
Just like, yeah.
I'm salty.
I can goldfish. Candy. Goldfish are fine.
Ooh, yeah.
Do goldfish.
But carbs, though.
We're not supposed to do carbs. Carbs are right out. By the way, that means pretty much anything snacky that costs more than less than like.
I'm so sad.
I know, right? Puffcorn.
Puffcorn would work.
Yes. I love puffcorn.
Still carby.
Still carby.
What do we got going next week?
Real Genius.
Yes!
Oh, finally.
Val Kilmer.
5 stars. Oh, wait. I have to wait. And
we have to wait to save 5 stars.
Next week.
I have to watch Real Genius critically.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's going to be fun.
It's a popcorn movie.
Literally. Yep. We're going to watch Real Genius. You should watch it, too, and make sure and join us next week before we do it. So, get on out of here for this week. For Richard, for Vanessa, for Jason, the kid, my name is Eric. Everybody have a fantastic week on Exposition Street. We'll see you at the movies, I guess. That's a thing.
Doesn't somebody already have that one?
Whatever, they're probably dead.
One of them.
Ouch.